scripture reading for today, and that comes from Luke chapter 24. the verses are 48 to 53. So it's Luke chapter 24, verses 48 through 53. We're going to read this in the ESV. There are ESV Bibles under the pews if you need one. It will also be projected behind me. And we'll give folks a moment to find the scripture. And once you are ready to read the scripture, if you could please stand as able for the reading of God's word, if you're joining us here in person. So may the Lord bless the reading of God's word for us today. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we have been going through the story about the road to Emmaus. These events that happened after Jesus was resurrected, and we have been using it as a metaphor for our own lives and our own journey. And we've titled this series Songs for the Road, and kind of in conjunction with the story of the road to Emmaus, we have also been pairing it with a praise song. And so today's title and today's song is called More Than Able. I wanted to share from last week, I forgot to mention this. Last week we were talking about the idea of strongholds, the idea that we go through this life and things can be anxious and there can be things that are very uncertain and make us scared. And we as human beings have always sought out strongholds, you know, some kind of way of making us feel safe. And whether that's a group of people or maybe for those group of people, it's like, well, there's another group of people that's even bigger. And so we need to go find a city or we need to go find these safe places. And so I wanted to mention that I forgot to say this last week, that I got that information about the strongholds from this book called A Non-Anxious Presence by Mark Sayers. It's an excellent book. I really want to recommend that book for you if you want to hear more about how we can learn to not to be this kind of non-anxious presence in a very anxious world. And you know, as we've been going through the journey that all of us go through, it's hard for us not to run into that concept of anxiety, of, you know, fear and of unrealized fear of the fear of the unknown. And as I was preparing this message, I thought about one of my favorite movies. And I have to confess, I have not read the books, but three of my favorite movies are based on the Lord of the Rings books. And so I've seen the movies tons of times. And if you guys remember Lord of the Rings, or if you've never read it or seen the movies, the main characters are hobbits. And hobbits are basically like small people. And so it's supposed to be this kind of like fantasy race. But they're really, you know, they look like people, but they're much shorter and smaller than humans. And so they're so small that humans call them halflings, like they're half of the size of a human being. And so the main characters in the Lord of the Rings books are hobbits. And the hobbits are people who are probably not unlike us, where they can be very fearful at times. And so hobbits don't really like things that rock the boat. They don't like things that are different or things that make them feel uncertain or anxious or anything like that. And so because they're so fearful, hobbits just kind of stay in their houses and they just stick to their routine. And anyone who kind of goes outside of that, they go looking for adventure or they try to change things, they're called disturbers of the peace. You know, and so there's this family. So Bilbo, in the prequel to The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, he's one of these hobbits who goes out and he finds an adventure because a wizard comes and tells him, you know, basically, hey, you need to go with these dwarves and, you know, you got to go find this treasure. And like, you know, so he goes on this adventure. And so much in the same way, his nephew Frodo ends up going on an adventure of his own, right? But as you can imagine, many of the hobbits, they look at you know, Frodo and Bilbo with suspicion because they're like, hey, you know, that's not what hobbits do, right? We just like to keep it safe. We just got to stay behind closed doors. We just stick to our routine, you know? And so that's not what Frodo does because he knows that he has this great mission that he's been given. So he and a few other hobbits, particularly his gardener, who basically, you know, becomes his best friend, Sam, they go out together. And, you know, Frodo's kind of reflecting on this idea of leaving your house and what an adventure that can be. And so this is from the book. He's recounting what his uncle Bilbo used to say. He said he often used to say there was only one road that was like a great river. Its springs were at every doorstep and every path was its tributary. It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out of your door, he used to say. You step into the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no telling where you might be swept off to, right? It's such a beautiful way to put the idea of, you know, every time you step outside of your door, you don't know what's going to happen. And it could be a great adventure that you're on. But maybe for a lot of us, we're kind of like the typical hobbit who's like, yes, Pastor Steve, you're right. It could be a great adventure, but it also could be danger. It could also be something that you could not imagine, right? And I know for maybe a lot of people during the pandemic, you know, going outside started to become kind of a fearful thing. You know, people started to get used to being behind closed doors and, hey, let's do everything on Zoom. You know, let's get all our groceries delivered to us, you know? Stepping out the door, it can be an adventure, but it can be dangerous, right? Why put yourself out there, you know? And so as we find ourselves on this road, I think we need to be confronted with the reality. This is actually what the book was about, that Non-Anxious Presence book, is that we live in an uncertain world, increasingly so, where a lot of the strongholds that we used to rely upon are either changing, or they're just not there anymore. You know, we can't rely upon them the way that we used to. And so we are like hobbits now, right? What do we do in this uncertain world? How do we face it, right? And so probably for a lot of us, you know, I'm not saying that this is everyone, but maybe there's some of us who are like, yeah, you know, I kind of wish we could go back to the pandemic where, you know, quarantine, where we're just all behind closed doors. You know, it's just safer that way. But I'm suspecting that even if you felt that way, and at times you feel that way, that we got a little anxious, didn't we? We got a little anxious for not doing anything, you know? We're just like, oh man, I need to move. I need to get outside. I need to stretch my legs. I need fresh air, right? I kind of need the excitement of the unknown, of the possibility of when you step out your door. Yeah, it can take you down a lot of different roads, but I'm willing to take that risk because what is the other alternative? How else are we going to live this life? But how do we face an uncertain world, right? Like I said, I know that some of us are graduating, and even if you're not graduating, if you're going out for the summer, even if you're not going out for the summer, if you're still going to be in Ann Arbor, if you're still going to be here over the summer, life is uncertain. And I was thinking for this message, I mean, it's not actually the last message in this series. We're going to have another one next week, another song, you know. But I thought it would be very fitting, knowing that for a lot of folks, for, you know, maybe like half of the people who are here, this might be your last Sunday for a few months at least, you know, to think about the uncertainty of this path and what advice would we give you, you know, as you step out into the unknown. And so we're going to pick up the story basically at the end. So this is after Jesus has left the two disciples, right, who are walking to Emmaus. You guys remember, right? They're walking down the road on the day of the resurrection. They're trying to make sense of the fact that the tomb was empty. And they're talking amongst themselves, and Jesus himself walks next to them, but they don't know it's Jesus. And Jesus just naturally just kind of like, he slips into their conversation. He's like, hey, what are you guys talking about? And, you know, they're like, hey, don't you know? Didn't you hear about what happened in Jerusalem about this guy, Jesus of Nazareth? And they tell him the whole story. And they you know, share that they're sad and disappointed and, you know, they're perplexed because his body's missing, but they were hoping that Jesus was going to be, you know, this political Messiah, and he didn't end up being that. And then Jesus tells them the story about himself and why he had to die and why he had to be raised and all of this stuff. And in the midst of that, their eyes are open. They see that it is the risen Lord. And then they set out, they run, and they go to the disciples to tell them, we saw the Lord, we saw Jesus. And so here we're going to pick up right after that. So as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them. So again, this is now Jesus appearing to all of them, not just these two disciples, not just the women at the tomb, but now this is the 11 disciples, right? And so he's with all of them, and he says, peace to you, peace be with you, right? And I love this, that this is how Jesus starts, because, I mean, you got to think, like, when is the last time that the disciples saw Jesus? When's the last time for some of them? When he was being arrested, you know, maybe the last was like, you know, people who betrayed Jesus, who lost faith, who ran, you know? And so Jesus coming back isn't necessarily good news unless Jesus has forgiven, unless Jesus is forgiveness, unless Jesus, his message is about love, forgiveness. It is about grace, and it is, right? But if it wasn't, this wouldn't be good news, Jesus coming back. I mean, this could be like the revenge tour, right? But it's not. It's not that kind of story. And he says, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought that they saw a spirit. They thought he was a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And so here is Jesus proving that he is the resurrected Lord. And so we were in this middle period where Jesus had died, and they were mourning that, they were grieving that, they were trying to make sense of that. And there was the other side, which is the reality of the resurrection, the church being lit on fire by the Holy Spirit, by the reality of the resurrection, going out and proclaiming to all the world, Jesus is alive. The world is different now. Death has been defeated. You can be a part of this. Jesus is love. Jesus is forgiveness. Jesus died for the sins of the world, right? All of this, but they were in between somewhere. And now we are starting to be on the other side of that. This is now the reality of the resurrection. And this colors everything that we do, everything that we see. It changes the way that you look at an uncertain world, right? For the disciples, time was forever changed. I think many people know this, bless you. Many people know that basically the day that people worshiped was Saturday, right? So keeping the Sabbath, Shabbat in Hebrew is, it's a day of the week. It's Saturday, right? And so that's the seventh day. You know, Sunday is actually the first day of the week, right? And so the only reason why the disciples, as far as we know, changed the day that they worship is because that's the day that Jesus resurrected. I mean, you guys know, right? How big of a deal the Sabbath was for, you know, the people of Israel, right? It was a really, really big deal. For them to change from Saturday to Sunday, it represented this huge shift, right? And that's the kind of shift that the resurrection represented. Their whole lives would never be the same. The way that they counted time, the way they looked at their lives, it's been forever changed by the resurrection. And so, friends, that's where we find ourselves. And that's where I want to encounter this song called More Than Able. And that this is a song that has really spoken to me and kind of came in a time of my life where I really, really, really needed to hear it. Maybe for some of us, we believe in a God of miracles. Do you believe in a God of miracles? Do you believe in a God that can raise the dead to life? Do you believe that, friends? Because I have to say that on one hand, you might believe it up here, or like, you know, you've been to church on Sundays, you know, and it's real as far as it goes, you know, like real, like a story that you're reading in the Bible, and you're like, oh, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. That's great. We sing songs about it, right? Like I feel happy when I sing about the resurrection, you know? But what about your everyday life? What about when you are facing a situation that looks impossible? You just can't see your way through it. As we've been sharing, we live in an uncertain world. You're looking at this thing and you're like, I just don't see how this can go my way. I don't see how this can get better. I can't see the light at the end of this tunnel because of the circumstances around us. And oftentimes we live in a world where everything just gets amplified. Our fears get amplified. We look at this world, we're like, oh my gosh, economy! Oh my gosh, inflation, it's so terrible. Oh man, look at the polarization of our country. It looks like we're headed towards a civil war. You know, all of these things, it just seems, it's so heightened. It's so in your face, and the anxiety, man, it's just kind of underlying everything, right? And we look at these situations and we're like, I just don't see our way through this. So, do we believe in a God of miracles? A God who literally, take a dead person and raise him to life again. I mean, I'm sure there's some situations in our life that look pretty difficult, right? It's the odds are against you. You can't see how this is going to get better. You know, I remember there were times, you know, I many times had like kind of like academic catastrophes. I'm like, dude, I don't even know if I'm going to like be able to graduate. You know, even if I graduate, like my GPA is in the toilet. You know, I don't see how anyone's going to hire me. At one point, I was on academic probation. It's a long story. I'm not going to get into all of it. But there's times where I looked at all of this and I'm like, dude, I'm done. There's no future. I don't see how I can get through this. Now, that may seem impossible for me. Not as impossible as raising a dead body back to life again, but still pretty unlikely. Do you ever feel that way, friends? And so the question remains, do you believe in a God of miracles? Do you believe in a God who can make a way, even though naturally everything that you see and everything that makes sense to you circumstantially, you're like, there's no way. There's no way. This is impossible. But do you believe in a God of the impossible? That's what this song is about. And I want to share with you because I was starting to feel that way about my own life and about ministry in some ways. I've shared a little bit about this in the past few weeks, but, you know, I've been pretty burnt out this year. It's been a really, really difficult year for me. And there have been many times where I just was kind of like wondering, like, yeah, maybe this is it. Maybe it's time for me to leave. And, you know, there's a lot of challenges in ministry. And I was having a lot of physical challenges, a lot of stuff that probably was like stress related. I've shared this before that I was feeling like really dizzy all the time. It felt like I was going to pass out oftentimes. And, you know, I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's stress or it's just this accumulation of like this kind of being burnt out from ministry. But I just was like, man, I just think that this might be it. You know, and we had this United Youth Retreat a few months ago. And actually, our very own Sarah Chang was preaching in the night service. And, you know, she's talking about like, hey, you know, if there's something you want from God, ask. I know it sounds very simple, you know, and I'm like, God, can I leave LGM? Can I leave ministry? Because I just don't know if I want to do this anymore. And for the first time, I think, in 20 years of doing ministry, because I've asked this question before. I've asked God before, can I leave? Am I done here? You know, do I have your permission, God? You know? And I think for the first time in about 20 years, I heard God say, if you want to leave, you can leave. Like, sweet, okay, I'm done. This is it, you know? But I think that there was another question that was underneath all of that. Why do you want to leave? You know? Do you want to leave because you don't think this is God's will for you anymore? Or do you want to leave because it's uncomfortable? Because it's difficult? Because there are some dark days ahead and you can't see the outcome of that? And as I'm praying, I really felt like God was saying, it is your choice. There are times, other times, where I've asked God, God, can I leave? And God, in more or less, has told me, no. You got to stay. I really want you to stay, Steve. You know, and so I did. But this time, I really felt like God was like, it's your choice. I'm not holding you here. But you can stay. And as I'm praying, and I'm like, you know, kind of wrestling with this, I did not know this song, but I just heard the praise leader start to sing the song. When did I start to forget all of the great things you did? When did I throw away faith for the impossible? And I like was like, are you singing to me? This is a youth retreat, guys. Like, why were we singing this song? Like, where it's like, how did I start to believe you weren't sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? I was like, I don't know that this song was really written for like sixth graders, you know? But I was like, dude, this is me. When did I start to forget all of the great things that Jesus did? Jesus rose from the dead, you guys. I look at my life and I'm like, impossible. Can't happen. Can't happen. It's like, do you believe that if you are called to something, if it is the will of God, that God can do it? That God can make it happen, right? And of course, the chorus, it goes, you are more than able. Da-na-na, da-na-na, da-na-na-na. You are more than able. Well, that's high. And it just kind of repeats. You are more than able. You are more than able. You are more than able. You are more than... That's not how the song goes. It's not a rap. You know, it's much slower, much more, you know, deliberate and melodic. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? And this is the kicker. It's easy for you. Is it, though? Is it easy for you, Lord? Because I look at all of this stuff, it doesn't look easy. It doesn't look easy. And you got to wonder about what the disciples went through themselves. I mean, these people literally witnessed Jesus raised from the dead, right? Did they get an easy life? Was it always easy for them? So he says to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Right? The story that we are following is not a story that's free from pain. It's not a story that's free from death. It's not a story that's free from difficulty, right? You look at the Israelites and you look at the disciples. I mean, they were persecuted. They faced all kinds of troubles. They faced all kinds of things that they could not solve themselves. And sometimes, yes, they did suffer. Sometimes they did go through periods of doubt. I mean, even as Jesus is telling them this, we see this, right? That they're still having doubts in their hearts. They're still figuring this out. They're still coming to believe, right? And this story is never as clean as I think we want it to be. We want it to be like this. God, you are more than able to do anything. It's easy for you. Therefore, I should never have to suffer. Therefore, I should never have to doubt. Therefore, I should never have to grieve or mourn. Therefore, I should never have to taste death or see death around me. Therefore, my heart should never be broken. Therefore, my hopes should never be dashed. That's just not the case, friends. He says, let me show you. Let me help you to understand. Resurrection comes after death. Didn't you know? The Messiah had to suffer all things. You think it was an easy life for Jesus? No, it wasn't easy. But even death, he could overcome. No matter what obstacle he went through, Jesus was able to bring life from death. He was able to work in all things for good. And that the repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in the name, in his name, to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. This is part of a bigger plan. This forgiveness is not just for you. This miracle is not just for you. You got to bring it to the nations. You got to bring it to all the earth. And guess what? I'm using you to do that. And if you listen to the recorded version of this, the Elevation, it's a guy who's singing the first part. And then a woman sings the second part. It's almost like a response or like, you know, before and after. And it goes, "And now I see all that I have. Oh, I've got my confidence back. I put my trust in the one who still does miracles. You do miracles. You are more than able. 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 Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? It's easy for you." And then there's this part that I love, but I have to be honest. I had to kind of like think on it a little bit. I'm like, is this like biblically sound? You know? And so it's this part where it says, "Can you imagine with all of the faith in the room what the Lord can do? What the Lord can do. It's going to happen. Just let the waymaker through. He's going to move. He's going to move. Can you imagine with all the faith in the room what the Lord can do? What the Lord can do. It's going to happen. Just let the waymaker through. He's going to move. He's going to move." Do you guys remember the story when Jesus went to his hometown and he tried to do miracles there? And do you remember what it says in Scripture? That he could only do a few miracles there. He did some, for sure. But not a ton. You know why? Because they didn't have faith. There wasn't a lot of faith in that room. And so you start to wonder, you're like, okay, well, like, what is this about? Like, I mean, you know, is it like a test? You know, like, do we have to prove that we have enough faith in order for a miracle to happen? I'm not sure if it's quite that. Or if it's like this. It's almost like God is able to work through us when we allow him to work in our faith and trust in him. And it's not a solo venture. It's always something that is done together. You guys remember I was sharing last week about my friend who liked to go into an elevator with his friends, and they would go, "Molecule," and they're still like bouncing off each other, and there'd be a person who didn't know that this was happening. They're in the middle, and they're just getting bounced around, right? And I was sharing that that's the way anxiety works. You know, there are times where I like have no tests, I have no exams to take, I haven't taken an exam in 20 years probably, you know? And I go to Starbucks during finals time, or I go to the Ugly, and I can just feel the anxiety in the room. I can just feel it like vibrating. You guys ever feel that? You just walk into a room and everyone's just like, and just, it's like palpable. It's like a heat wave of anxiety, like rippling in that room, and you just start to vibrate with that anxiety, you know? I wonder if faith is similar. I wonder if in the same way that anxiety can be contagious. I wonder if faith can be contagious. I wonder if there's a bunch of people vibrating, not with anxiety, but vibrating with faith. Just all this faith, right? And that faith just starts bouncing off of each other, right? Yes, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Let the waymaker through. He's going to move. He's going to move. Can you imagine? With all the faith in this room, what the Lord can do, can you imagine? Can you imagine? We're like, yeah, can you imagine? Can you imagine? We're just like, right? And the faith is bouncing off each other. Can you imagine what the Lord can do? Did you ever notice what ends up happening with the disciples? Right? He says, "You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. I think many of you know this, but the word you is a little bit weird because in English, it can be singular or it can be plural. In the South, they try to clear this up, and so they would say y'all, right? Y'all. It can be you or it can be you. And in this case, when Jesus says, stay in the city until you? Until you? No, he's saying until you are clothed with power from on high, all of you. And so what do you think the people do? Do you think the disciples are like, okay, all right, guys, split up, right? We're going to go home. I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray. You go home and you pray and then you go home and you pray and we're going to be in our separate houses and our separate spaces. No, you know what they do? They gather together. And they start praying together, right? And on the day of Pentecost, where are they? They're in that upper room by themselves in separate, you know, corners of the house. No, they are all together praying, right? And we see that, right? And then even at the end, right, he led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them. And he was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So what did they do? They go home on their own. And they were continually in the temple together blessing God. Right? This is one of the gifts of church. This is one of the things that we lose when society and when faith becomes so individualistic. It just becomes about our own little faith. Right? And so for many of us, I mean, it is hard to believe in a God of miracles when you are by yourself. And everyone around you is anxious. And they're just like, he's not going to move. Like, are you so foolish to think that? Dude, I mean, you live in an uncertain world. You have no idea what's going to happen, right? You got to make this happen on your own. Like, you can't count on God. Like, what are you talking about? And you live in this world where everyone's telling you that. Everyone's vibrating with that anxiety. I mean, it's no wonder that our faith starts to wander. How did I start to forget all of the great things you've done? But how do I remember? How do I vibrate not with fear and anxiety, but with faith? I wonder. That's what church is all about. You're with a bunch of other people who are vibrating with faith. Yeah, you know, you're not perfect, and there's going to be times where you have to come to people, and you're just, like, I'm not saying you fake it, right? But in this kind of imperfect perfection, where some of us, yeah, you know, we need to feed off of the faith of other people to say, man, I'm starting to forget. I need to be reminded. And people say, he's going to move. He's going to move. He's a God of miracles. Right? Of course, it is according to his plan. It's not according to your plan. This message, and it's never meant to say, friends, that God is going to give you just what you want to fulfill your desires, especially if those desires are outside of his plans. It's not about God is going to make you rich and healthy all the time and, you know, that he's going to fulfill these kind of material wishes that you have that are outside of God's will, right? But God's will in general is about you being united to God, being part of the people of God, living in the kingdom of God, that's a good thing. That's what all of us ultimately want. And God wants that for you too. God wants good things for you, right? It may be slightly different in execution from the way you would plan it, right? Maybe you're like, God, I want to win the lottery. And God's like, that's not my plan for you. I'm going to move. It's not going to be your way. But don't mistake, I'm going to make a way. It's not going to be your way. It's going to be my way, but I will make a way. That's been my experience of God. That's the experience that I think a lot of us have, right? And so I love, like, the song kind of goes on. I've been warned by the praise team. They're like, Pastor Steve, there's going to be moments in the song where it seems like we're done, but it's going to keep going. So don't come up too early. We'll let you know when we're done. I'm like, oh, don't worry, you know? But there's this kind of like continuation of the story. I've come a long way. I've seen how you work. There's so much goodness and grace, much more than I deserve, because I know who I am and I can't stay where I'm at. We've come this far by faith. Yes, we have. And I just can't turn back. Because he's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story. You're not done with me yet. You guys already heard, right? We've said this many times. The disciples, when they meet the resurrected Christ, we are told many times, they still had doubt. They're not perfect. But you know what? He's not done with them yet. He's still working in their lives. That is so encouraging to someone like me, who, yes, I do forget. Yes, there are times where I start to vibrate with anxiety, right? There are times where I take my eyes off of Jesus and I look at the wind and waves and I look at my circumstances and I'm like, oh man, maybe he is done with me. But we need to be reminded of that. He's not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story. You're not done with me yet. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? God is more than able. God is more than able. God is more than able. Friends, this isn't just a song. It's scripture. This is Ephesians chapter 3. And this is when, you know, Paul has been praying that we can be filled with the love of Christ, that we can know the love of Christ, that we can be filled with his power. And then he has this kind of like, you know, if you want to call it like a benediction, like a doxology to it. And he says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. I remember hearing this from a really good pastor friend of mine, and he loves to point out that this far more abundantly is very difficult to translate in Greek. It's like exceedingly, overflowingly. If you look at all the different translations for this, it's a way of implying, like, it's not like you've got a cup and you're filling it, right? This is what God is able to do, just enough. Or God gives you just this much. It's this idea that it's pouring and pouring and pouring, and it just keeps overflowing. Far more abundantly, like an ocean. Like, you know, you're trying to fill the cup and you fill it with the ocean. He can do way more than we can ask or imagine. You can't even fathom what God is able to do. But he's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or imagine. He is more than able according to the power at work within us, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. He can work miracles in your life. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Our problem is that we look at our problems. Our problem is that we look at the circumstances, right? What is the circumstance? It's the stuff around you, right? So we're looking around us, but we're not looking up. This is what Jesus is telling us. Don't look at your circumstances. Look up. You will be clothed with power from on high. Right? We just have like this kind of very eye-level view of our problems. And God is way above it. He can see everything. He's got the bird's eye view. He's got the thousand-foot view. He's like, you see this little hill, and it looks insurmountable. And actually, that hill is being used to build your faith, to build your trust. So when you come on the other side of it, you will know even more. Wow, God brought me through that. What else can God bring me through? Right? And so, friends, as Christ followers, we don't base our faith in our circumstances. We base our faith in what we know of God, in his boundless power, his love, and his grace. It's not just that he's powerful, but he loves you. And he doesn't just love you, but he's gracious to you. You don't deserve that love, but he shows it to you anyways. That's who God is. We aren't believing in ourselves, in our ability to overcome. We're believing in God's ability to overcome. He's created it all. He's already working in your life. Yes, you can't understand everything. But if we follow this Christ and we learn to trust in him and we learn to look up instead of just around, then our faith will be strengthened. We don't need to worry. We can keep walking with more and more confidence, with more and more hope in what God is doing. I want to ask the praise team to come up and set up for this song. But as they are, friends, I know some people, right, like it might be your last Sunday with us, so this is our last chance to do this. I want to ask you to do something that's going to take a little bit of faith, okay? I'm going to raise my hand. So this, I'm answering. How many of us here, you need to be reminded of Jesus' resurrection power? You need a miracle. You need to believe in a God of miracles. You are facing something in your life that looks insurmountable, that you cannot solve on your own. Friends, can we just take a moment, maybe just close your eyes? And I want us to, you know, just in faith, because I want to pray for us. And so just for full disclosure, I'm not going to make you get up or do anything crazy. All I'm going to do is I'm going to ask for the people around you to pray for you, okay? So just for a moment, I mean, you know, we're going to open our eyes in a moment because we want to pray for each other. But if you are in need of that kind of prayer, if you are facing something that you cannot overcome on your own, your pastor included, I am raising my hand right now, friends. There are things in my life that I cannot see the way through based on my circumstances, based on what's around me. But I need to believe again that we serve a God of miracles. God is the way maker. He will see you through. Is anyone facing anything like that and you need prayer? You need to believe that? You need to access the faith in this room? Can you just raise your hand? And it can be both, by the way. You have faith, but you're still facing mountains. Anyone facing a mountain, can you raise your hand? We're not going to make you stand up. We're just going to pray for you. That's it. Anyone facing a mountain? Anyone facing something impassable? Anyone facing something that you need more faith for? Could you just raise your hand in faith, friends? Just raise your hand. We're going to pray for you. That's it. We're not going to make you stand up. We're not going to make you do anything crazy. We're just going to pray for you. If someone is raising their hand, if you guys can just kind of look around you, and if we're comfortable with this, just you can extend a hand. If you feel comfortable, you can put a hand on their shoulder and pray for them. You don't need to know what that is. Just pray. It's going to happen. He's going to move. He's going to move. You can use those words. You can use the words from the song. You can use the words from Scripture. God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Let's pray this over each other, friends. And so if you would be so bold, you know, if it's a friend, if it's someone you know, you can put your hand on their shoulder. If someone you don't know, you can just extend your hand. And if you could pray for them, friends, let's pray. Let's access the faith in the room. Let's pray for the impossible. Let's pray for miracles. Let's pray. Precious God, we know that we need. Precious God, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God of miracles, Lord. As we go into this last song, may this be our declaration, God. You are more than able. God, we confess at times we have sometimes forgotten that you are this God of resurrection. You are a God who is supernatural. You can go beyond what we can see, what we can imagine. We want to believe in what you are able to do in our lives, to keep our eyes up, that we can receive the power from on high. The power, God, to know that we're not alone, to be able to face the future unafraid, to believe, God, that we can face the world in a non-anxious way. And so when the solution comes, we'll be like, praise God. We're not all that surprised, but we are still thankful. But we knew, God, you were going to come through. So God, come through. Show us again, Lord, that you are this way maker, that you are this God of miracles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.